Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, visit pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all of you non-members out there, sign up for a free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the App Store and Google Play. This episode is brought to you by Benjamin Moore and Sherwin Williams.
Welcome to the Painter Marketing Mastermind Podcast, a show created to help painting company owners build a thriving painting business that does well over $1 million in annual revenue. I'm your host, Brandon Pierpont, founder of Painter Marketing Pros and creator of the popular PCA educational series, Learn, Do, Grow, Marketing for Painters. In each episode, I'll be sharing proven tips, strategies, and processes from leading experts in the industry on how they found success in their painting business. We will be interviewing owners of the most successful painting companies in North America and learning from their experiences. In this series titled Ignite Your Passion, Michael Chaney of No Drip Painting will be discussing her journey from part-time hustle to over $2 million painting company, the amazing opportunities she sees for other entrepreneurs to succeed in the painting industry, and the powerful purpose she has developed while scaling No Drip Painting. In episode one, Michael discussed why she got started in the painting industry and what her initial journey looked like as a side hustle. In episode two, Michael laid out the roadmap of how she initially surpassed $1 million in annual revenue. In episode three, Michael dived into the path to $2 million and how that is entirely different from the path to $1 million. In episode four, this episode, Michael will unveil her powerful why, the purpose she has found since launching No Drip Painting. And in episode five, the final episode, Michael will lay out the very exciting opportunities she sees in the painting industry today. If you want to ask Michael questions related to anything in this podcast series, you can do so on our exclusive Painter Marketing Mastermind podcast forum on Facebook. Just search for Painter Marketing Mastermind podcast forum on Facebook and request to join the group. Or type in the URL, facebook.com/groups/Painter Marketing Mastermind. Again, that URL is facebook.com/groups/Painter Marketing Mastermind. There you can ask Michael questions directly by tagging her with your question so you can see how anything discussed here applies to your particular painting company. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Brandon.
I'm excited to see where this conversation takes us.
Yeah, you know, I think that this one might be my favorite out of the series because we get to talk about my why and how that's developed. And that's really the piece of this puzzle that really lights me up and gets me excited.
I know you've been working your way here. We've been trying to not dive too deep into it just to get some fundamentals in place, but you've earned it. We've earned it and we're here.
That's right. Let's do it.
So let's kind of chronologically start. So I know, you know, we cover the part-time side hustle in episode one, but I think when you initially launched No Drip Painting, it really started as a way to generate money. It was not this powerful purpose. Is that correct?
That's right. Right. There was a time when I needed a side hustle. I needed some extra money, pay for soccer practice, all the things that parents have to pay for. And yeah, it was a way to make money. And, you know, and I think that's a fine place to start. Right. Yeah. I think that kind of the way life works, at least what it has, how it has panned out for me is that, you know, you kind of take some chances, you might take some risks. And through that, for me, the reward has been to find a platform, which is this business, to, you know, to really bring out what's on my heart. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. And I think that's a phenomenal point. And I want to dive into that one for a second, just because it was something that was difficult for me a long time ago. You know, you read all this different advice and it's like, hey, find your passion, or, you know, if you really are doing the right thing, then no, it never feels like a day at work. You know, work shouldn't feel like work. Yeah. And I think we have all these ideals and sometimes platitudes that we listen to or that we try to model our life after. But yeah, you and I discuss this importance of doing different things, trying different things. I don't have a passion, yes, for auto detailing, but through auto detailing, I figured out, oh, marketing is pretty important actually for a company, and sales are actually kind of important. And then I ended up developing a passion for that, but I didn't start thinking, oh, I'm going to do marketing and sales. I started with auto detailing, But this idea of doing different things, you know, it was my background was in private equity, buy companies, improve them and sell them. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. I always found an issue with every single company, you know, because that was my job, was to find issues with companies and then fix them. And so every idea I had, an issue why I wasn't the right person. There are too many companies doing it. The competition is too stiff. I don't have that skill set X, Y, or Z. And my wife's finally like, hey, can you wash a car? You think you can figure that part out? Yeah. I wasn't passionate about it, but I went and did it. So right now, most of our listeners are painters, but if you're really anything in life, don't think it has to be perfect or even necessarily make sense. Just go do different things and find your way as you go.
Yeah. And I think there's this added pressure that we're supposed to find our passion. And like you said, you know, you work, but you don't feel like you're working a day in your life. There's a lot of pressure on that, I think, for people. And what I really see it with Brandon is our young people. You know, man, I think it would be difficult, and you've got young ones. So, you know, I know you're going to rock this, but it's difficult, right? There's this pressure on our kids even to figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life. And man, when you're 18, you don't know what you're going to be like at age 40, right? So, and I think, you know, all of us have that kind of, at least I know this internal dialogue along the way that's like, what are you supposed to do? What are you going to do? And there's this pressure. And I think when I was able to alleviate that pressure by the message I was telling myself, right, I took the pressure off. I think that's what allowed me to kind of lean into some of these things that I naturally, I think, began to call into my life. And those were where the real opportunities existed. Those opportunities that I was open to are the ones that kind of lit the path forward and landed me here, I think.
Yeah. And my friend had sent me a quote as I was kind of sorting things out years ago. And it might be a little bit cheesy or whatever, but it helped me a lot. And I clung on to it for a few years, was all those who wander are not lost. And yes. So that might apply to people here who are thinking about doing other things, or maybe pivoting their painting company, or maybe you're listening, you're not even a painting company owner, but you're thinking about getting into it, trying different things. Just because you're wandering around, it can feel like you're lost, feel unproductive, or like you're, you know, other people are doing better than you because they're moving up in some kind of career field. But the entrepreneurship path it's bumpy, it's rocky, it's messy, it's not pretty. And that's part of it.
Yeah. You know, I adopted a term that I got from Jason Paris called wayfinding. I'm wayfinding, right? Like you're finding your way. That's what I think it's all about.
That's cool. So wayfinding is turning this sort of what other people might refer to condescendingly as aimlessness or kind of moving around into actually that's the productive activity that you're currently performing.
Exactly. And I think when you look at it through that lens of productivity, like you just mentioned, when you look at it through the lens of I am actively moving forward, that feels different than having this pressure of, you know, what the heck am I supposed to do? The other thing I'll say, and this is a lesson that I'm learning now, is to gauge your progress based on what you've done, not what the ideals are of others or of the world, right? Or of comparing yourself to someone else. When you bring everything inward and you look at your progression from an individual standpoint, I think that is where you can gain some momentum and, you know, you can alleviate this idea that you're supposed to be somewhere else in your life. If you're focused on comparing yourself to yourself and where you were a week ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, and you see the needle moving forward. Now you might have some things that take you back a few steps, right? But if you can look at it from an individual perspective, I think you can, you know, diminish some of that negative talk of, oh, I should be here in my life. I should know what my passion is, right?
Yeah. And comparison is the thief of joy. And the people that you hear about, the people you listen to, the people who are on this podcast are outliers, right? And so the people who, it doesn't mean you can't do it, but comparing listening to podcasts or watching, you know, Shark Tank used to bother me. Shark Tank would bother me. It would bother my wife. We would watch it and there'd be like a 14-year-old there. It's like, oh, we'll give you $600,000 for a 10% stake in your company. I look at that. I am a loser. I'm a failure. This 14-year-old is kicking butt, right? But it just happened to be that circumstance or phenom or whatever that created that situation. Now I look at Shark Tank and I don't feel that way anymore, but it was problematic that I ever did. And so don't listen to this stuff or watch this stuff and somehow feel less than, because number one, you can do it. And number two, you're not seeing or listening to or anything the hundreds, thousands, millions of people who are out there fighting the fight and maybe not getting the results quite yet that they want.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know how we're getting on that. You and I tend to go in different paths, but
don't we?
But yeah, kind of back to, you know, you started for money. Money, trying to earn money is not a bad thing. Money's not a dirty word. Profit's not a dirty word. We're going to get into your passion. And yet we've also been talking about your cost of labor. You love your people, but you still want to make money. Money and profit are not bad words. So just put that out there. But you started, no real passion for it. You wanted to pay soccer practice, wanted to generate the extra income. Let's pick up.
Yeah. So once I got kind of rocking and rolling, I tried a few different things, right? We've just talked about being open to the opportunities. I got into flipping houses because an investor I was paying.
So many painters do that. I've talked to so many painters who flip houses.
Listen, I work with the GCs and remodelers in Columbus, Ohio, and that is a job I do not want. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to digress here. So, but I started.
Because we'll do the next 30 minutes. We'll be on real estate.
Exactly. But I started painting for a real estate investor, and he would say things like, "Hey, while you're in there, can you swap this toilet out? Can you put this floor in?" And I was like, gosh, I can't say no. I will tell you that I have learned to say no now, and I know what my path is, but I would say yes. And then I get on YouTube and I figure out how the heck do I put a toilet in. But what that did was it gave me some other opportunities. I tried it out, right? So I started flipping houses with this investor because he came to me and said, "Hey, I can see you've got a great work ethic. Do you want to start partnering on these projects?" So I did. And I did that for a while, and it was crazy. My daughter and I, she was young, you know, 7, 8, and we would move into a house that needed completely torn apart down to the studs, and we would live there while we were fixing it up, and then we would stage it when it was done, and then we'd move on to the next house. So I started doing all these crazy things, found my way back to painting is really the piece of it. And once I got back into painting, I can't quite pinpoint this, but I recognized the opportunity. And I think part of that opportunity was recognized because I had to go out and find our work, right? We always talk about leads. And, you know, when you're getting started, you know, unless you have a lot of money in the bank, you're probably not hiring a marketing company. You're getting out. And for me, that meant I was going pretty much door to door in Columbus. And when I say door to door, I started to focus on the contractors. One reason I did that is because I could look them up online. I could look at their reviews. I could somehow figure out were they decent people to work with. And then I could go right to their door and I could introduce myself. So I started doing things like that. But it was through getting some of those opportunities that I realized, hey, I think that there's many more opportunities out here. So that's kind of what kind of triggered me to say there's something here in this painting business. And then I also started to fall in love with strategy and, you know, all the things you have to do to create a business. Those are things that I enjoyed. I'm creative. I think I'm a creative is what I would call myself. And I have been able to explore that creativity while creating this business. So that kind of, you know, tuned me into, there was something here about the strategy and this creativity that I could kind of pair together. And through that, that's kind of, you know, what, you know, started this journey of me saying, hey, you know, I think there's something here. And it kind of took off from that point.
Yeah, that's a great evolution. One of the things I want to comment on too, is the way you did that so strategically. So you didn't have money. So you had to rely on essentially what would be called sweat equity. So you going out doing things for free, but you did it in a leveraged fashion. So there are activities that we can do that are higher leverage and activities that we can do that are lower leverage. I am a big proponent of door knocking just in general. When you start out, I think it's a hard thing. I saw a guy doing it yesterday. I don't know what he was selling, but he was doing it in the rain with an umbrella. And I had a lot of respect for him for doing it. But the you were specifically choosing contractors. So you were looking up, doing your homework. When you do things like that, when you spend time refining your sales process, so as opposed to, okay, I'm gonna hunt every lead, but then when I show up, I'm not going to have really refined my sales process or know my deliverables. When you focus on these things that get used again and again and again and again, your activity, your effort goes farther. And when that's all you have, try to be smart because time is your only commodity at that point.
That's right. So my plan at that time, I was heading for the contractors. The other reason I did that is because after I started talking to them, I found out that they all had the same issue. And it was somebody showing up right? We've talked about the bar hasn't been set very high, showing up and then producing the same quality over and over again, right? There, a lot of times their experience is that they get a painting company, the painting company does great on that first job. And then after that, their quality declines. And so when I found out that that was an issue, I said, you know what? That is how I'm going to get my customers. I'm going to figure out how to perfect the quality. I know we're going to show up. We're going to have great communication. And that's really where I kind of started building things out. And even today, 45% of our business are these repeat customers. And so, you know, strategically each year I get to look and say, okay, how much did we do with this company? Now, how can we do more? Do they have the capacity? Are they growing? So it's actually been kind of a nice little niche market within the painting industry that I've, you know, my team and I have figured out how to kind of perfect. But that's how I started. And then that's kind of, I think, you know, those relationships. The other piece that this taught me was how important relationships are, right? If you're wanting a repeat client base in this fashion, you've got to put a lot into that relationship. And then you've got to go where they are. So we started going to all the networking groups where these people were. But that's kind of how things kicked off. And from there, then the strategic piece has been, how do we get more homeowners as well? Because that's part of what we do.
So for the contractors, you were essentially being a subcontractor to them.
That's right. And yeah, and we still are now with the folks that we work with, you know, under the subcontractor umbrella, they don't care if we're branded, right? We don't have to look as though we're working for them. We can promote No Drip Painting. We can put our sign in the yard. We can ask these clients for reviews at the end of the project. These clients also then turn into a great referral source. And if you think about it, we're working with high-end contractors, okay? And we always call them remodelers because they're different than your everyday GC. They're doing $1-2 million remodels, and we're going in and a lot of times doing full house, painting. But the idea is that now we've created this customer in a desired neighborhood that we want to be in. And now this customer through our remodeling company becomes a referral source for No Drip Painting. So we have to make sure that throughout this process, because sometimes they're not living in the home, they might stop by to see how things are going. We have to make sure that we make a good impression on them. And we have some really cool things that we do to kind of seal that deal at the end and end our project strongly. And maybe at some point we'll have a chance to talk about that. But this is kind of how the business started. Plus, you know, I went to every friend and family and said, hey, I'm painting, you know, let me paint for you. You know, give me a shot here. And then, of course, that also helped start the fire for the word of mouth referrals.
That's such a great hack. And it's like a product mix. And I think most painting companies don't think like that. If you're running an e-commerce store or something, you're going to think of what your product mix is, what your, you know, cost of sale is and what you're making on each, but what you should push.
Yeah.
And painting companies, you ask them, hey, what's your split, you know, between residential and commercial? And oftentimes they're not sure. Right. And those are two totally different products and interior exterior cabinet. Oftentimes they have no idea. So they're viewing it all kind of the same. And I think subcontractor can have this sort of negative connotation, but you've built it on a really high end where it's not even really a subcontractor. I'm sure it's referred to as basically a painting company that they work with or that, you know, is referred out. And then you're taking a project that you essentially didn't have to go sell. You didn't have to market for it. You didn't have your cost of sales zero. And then you're going in and then you're not only getting the profit from the project, you're actually further building your brand through securing a review, which is how you further monetize the project, and you're getting referrals, and it just kind of snowballs on itself. And that's one product essentially.
Yes.
And then the other product is your direct to homeowner. And so this is phenomenal the way that you've done them both.
Yeah. And think about this, Brandon, the great piece about this whole puzzle is that when you get in with these remodelers, they don't want 10 different painters. Right? They want one really good one that they can count on. And what that allowed me to do is to get in with them and have a great relationship. And as these companies were growing, it signaled to me, okay, they're growing. Now I need to grow my teams. I need to grow my team size so that they don't come to me and say, hey, can you take on this project and this project? And I say, no. The answer is yes, because we've got a big team and we can cater to all of your projects. So it's repeat clients that you're right. It doesn't cost anything to get. In the beginning, it costs some sweat equity. But now you've got this reliable customer and, you know, they're doing, you know, our our remodelers are anywhere from $100,000 account up to $3,000. We should have one that's a $3,000 account this year. And that's repeat.
That's awesome.
And you're not bidding on projects. When they find someone they trust, they take your number. We're not up against all these folks. And here's the thing. You develop a relationship so that if there is a pricing discrepancy, then you talk about it, right? Yeah. And you work it out, and then you go on, but you get the job.
It always helps to think about from the perspective of the other person when you're selling to them, right? So a homeowner wants trust. They want reliability. They want to know if something goes wrong that you're going to come back and you're not going to screw them. Ultimately, it's about trust. A remodeler wants to know you're going to make them look good, wants to know that they can trust that you're going to make their life easy, that you're reliable. And the homeowner who hired that remodeler is going to be like, wow, this looks great.
Yes.
And it was easy. That's right. That's what they want.
Yep. So our job is to make that remodeler look good. And so here's what kind of all this taught me, because this trails back to what this show is about. And so when
what
I grew up,
what is it about again? What are we talking about? Oh, the why. Well, no, I'm just kidding.
My why, but this, this all helped me develop my why. Again, my why in the beginning was one thing. And then as I moved through this, I'll tell a quick story about when I grew up. I grew up with a single mom. There was a period of time when we did not have much, but what my mom was really good at was creating our home, our space that felt safe. I felt proud to bring friends over, and she did that because we were always painting and we were putting up wallpaper, and my mom was a master on the sewing machine. So if you know, our couch was looking a little rough, she would literally sew a slip cover. And if you know anything about sewing, slip covers are not easy things to put together. But that's what we did in our home, okay? And when I grew up and I looked back on that, it stuck with me. So, you know, I take a lot of pride in where I live. I always have. Even when I was in college and I was in my dorm, I, you know, had a sense of pride for where I lived. And she really just taught me how important space is. It can make you feel safe. You can, you know, feel good when you walk into a space that you feel good about. I personally think it can change your mood. It can change the trajectory of your life, right? And so she instilled those things in me. And what has come full circle is that I get to see that we're doing that with our clients. And listen, we're all doing that. You know, I don't know that we always view it that way when we are the ones putting the paint on the wall, you know, in the moment, you run out of a gallon of paint, you got to run to the paint store, you know, you're in a frantic space at times trying to complete projects, but really we are empowering people through their space. And when I realized that, that became a thread of what we do. So that's how we look at it. You know, that's just what we do. We are helping people improve their space, but the deeper meaning there is that we're having a huge impact on their life and creating a space that they really want to share with their family. And so when I realized the power behind that, and I could link it back to my childhood, that really kind of helped build out my why. And then beyond that, you know, what has become important after I really started to establish a team was making sure that the people around me were taken care of. And, you know, my view on this is that, you know, I'm the business owner and, you know, and on some level I've taken all the risk, right? And there's a certain lifestyle that I want and that I'm working towards. There's a certain level of financial stability and freedom that I'm working towards. I want to travel, all of those things. Well,
your
I want
team
my
members,
team to...
your team members are there to serve you. That's what I hear you say. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Michael. You are making this take a corner. A hard turn that I didn't plan on.
I'm totally joking.
But here's, like, that's what I want, right? And that's what I'm going for.
Yep.
But I also want to give a piece of that to my team. I want my team to have opportunities in life. And when you want opportunities, some of that means that you have to have money, right? You have to have some freedom. You know, we have unlimited vacation for my salaried folks. And we have these big things, but people take care of it because of that. So, you know, the other piece of this puzzle is that we've got people around me. They're helping me achieve my goals. And my job is now to help them achieve their goals. And we do cool things like we teach English classes to our Spanish speaking painters. And this year we've opened it up to their families. So, you know, we do things like that. You know, I'll tell you another quick story. And this is just something, honestly, I'm proud of. but it's a testament to the way my team thinks and operates. One of my project managers came to me and said, "Hey, listen, you know, our sub team over here, they had relocated from Colorado 6 months prior." And Katie says, "Hey, listen, I found out that they don't have any mattresses. They're sleeping on the floor. They've got some air mattresses. You know, they've got kids. They've got, you know, they're living in this house with no mattresses." And so my team, this wasn't me doing this, but my team took it upon themselves. They posted a, you know, something on their personal Facebook pages. We all shared it. And within 24 hours, we had five almost brand new mattresses loaded up in our trucks and delivered to our team. And that's who we are. And that's what we want to do. I'm going to give you one more quick story, but listen, at any point, you just cut me off.
Michael, the best podcasts for me are when I feel like I'm just sitting down watching, and I love it. No, you've got me.
Okay. And I mean, honestly, this is the stuff that gets me emotional. I had a parent that worked with me for years. He's really kind of one that helped me start this whole thing when I was back in those rentals trying to swap out toilets. But his family is from El Salvador. He's from El Salvador. While he worked with me for about 5 years, and then he went on to go do something else. But during that time, he, you know, because I paid him what he deserved, right? This isn't about undercutting people. This isn't about putting all the money in my bank account. This is about really helping people create a life that they want to create. And what he was able to do was he built two houses in El Salvador for his family. He built them in an area that traditionally did not have running water or electricity. He dug wells, provided them water, provided them electricity. And he did this for his family and has literally changed the course of his entire family's direction in life, I believe, for generations to come. And he did all that because of the cool things that we were doing here in Columbus, Ohio, and because I was able to pay him what I paid him, right? That's amazing, right? And so through these interactions and even being able to find team members that feel the same way about, you know, having an impact and using this craft that I love and that I respect, using this craft to be able to do good for people is really what it's about. And that has become my why. And the cool thing about it, and I think on some level, I always knew this, but now I get to see it on a day-to-day basis, is that when you operate from a space like that, when you operate from your heart and you do it with the intention of having an impact, your team feels good about that, right? We all feel good when we help someone. And I think what I'm really trying to incorporate here and trying to build out in an explosive way is for my team to have the perception and the intention that we are giving back through this business. And that's why people are going to ultimately want to work with us, right? We have a tagline that we use, and it's hashtag changing lives through paint, because that's what we actually believe that we're doing.
Man, that's incredible. Yeah, I think we all kind of start wanting financial security, wanting, you know, what's at the end of the road, so to speak, right? This rainbow road that we're taking, that isn't really a rainbow road a lot of times. But then you start to actually reap the rewards, and you figure out that's great. Like, I don't think we would do it if we got stuck in a grind forever. You'd have to really be a masochist. But when you have this ability, this power to change people's lives, like you said, for generations to come, that's nuts. Like, how often, how else do you get that? That's absolutely insane that you can do something like that by being a business.
Right. And it, you know, it takes me back to when I was young and we had small businesses literally helping my family eat at certain times. And now I have such an appreciation for small business because we have the flexibility to do these things. Right. And you know, the other thing that I want to mention, because it's something I'm super proud of, is our Paint It Forward program. We all know what Paint It Forward is now at this point.
Well, let's touch on it, because not everyone necessarily knows.
Yeah. So Paint It Forward, it was started, and you might be able to help me with the company that started it, but a California company.
Albright Painting.
Yep. Albright. And they started, you know, their Paint It Forward program years ago with the intention of painting for someone that might not necessarily be able to afford that project. And again, with the, you know, same mission that I'm having is brighten someone's day, right? Create a space that they love. And so Albright started that. And now we know the PCA has gotten involved in that, and you can, you know, participate in their Paint It Forward at the expo.
Yep.
And they do a yearly event where you can sign up and kind of showcase, you know, your Paint It Forward project. But what we did is I wanted to put a spin on that. Our goal last year for 2023 was to complete 12 Paint It Forward projects, and we did. So we did 12 projects. We did 12 projects for the year. We had some great support. Sherwin-Williams donated our paint. We worked for some nonprofits that were near and dear to our heart because of the mission behind what they do. We were also able to kind of channel this, some of these projects towards people who are near and dear to my heart and my team's heart. For example, half my team was raised by a single mom. And so, of course, we did a project for a single mom. You know, my mom was a teacher, and so I just have a lot of admiration and respect for teachers. And so we've done a project for a teacher this last year. We did a project for two widows, someone who just got diagnosed with cancer, right? So we get to do these projects for people. And often it's in a time in their life when it's, you know, they're in a rough patch, or they've lost a spouse, or, and when we can come in and brighten their day and help, you know, create this space that they love, it's an amazing feeling. And, you know, I have to say that's a piece of this for my team. When you do good things for people, it feels good. And I'm trying to create a business and a team that wants to show up and is proud of what we do. And our Paint It Forward program is allowing that to come to fruition.
What a simple but profound line. When you do good things for people, it feels good.
I mean, think about that, Brandon. Like, that's people are going to want to be attracted to that. Now, in some way, that sounds self-serving, right? Like, you know, but that's not the only reason we do it. It's the byproduct of doing good. Like, you can't help but light yourself up when you're doing things for other people.
I've gone down that road before. I've read forums on it. I've meditated on it. Like, okay, is it selfish to be unselfish because it makes you feel good? And what I've ultimately concluded is I don't care. If I'm being unselfish or doing a nice thing for a person, it makes me feel good. And then someone wants to say it's selfish, fine, then I'm selfish. I don't care. If that's what selfish is, everyone should be selfish.
Yeah. And I kind of almost take that to a different, I've heard other people say similar things on different topics, but my view is this, is that if that makes me feel good for helping someone, that also might be what God, what the world, what the universe has instilled in me, because that lights me up and that is a trigger or a motivation to do well for other. I look at it almost like it's a gift. It's a gift that it makes me feel good, because that is a strong motivation to build a business around it, right? I mean, I'm here telling you we did 12 Paint It Forward projects. I hope someday I'm telling you that we did 50 in 1 year, right? And if I feel good because of that, well, then that's awesome, because it's only going to propel me to do more.
I don't think I've ever heard that, this idea that if it makes you feel good, then it was a call. You've kind of talked about that quite a few times.
Yes.
On your heart thing. I really like that. I think when you're doing something that's just lighting you up that much and helping people, there is no disputing that you're heading in the right direction.
That's right. That's right.
So the 12 Paint It Forward projects, for people who are listening, who are like, okay, now I understand it. It's a complimentary, you know, free paint project for either a nonprofit, someone in need, you know, helping someone or some organization out, right? And Sherwin sponsor your paint. So for people listening who maybe they've never been to the expo, they didn't participate in the PCA's Paint It Forward, but they're interested in doing this, how should they start?
Well, if you want to do it within your own business, just start small. Maybe you're in someone's house already and you can tell they're struggling a bit. Maybe you offer to paint another bedroom or an accent wall, right? I think you can just look within your own customers, or look at your teammates, right? Like, we've done Paint It Forward projects for our teammates. You know, we have one of our girls is in the military. She's in the reserves. And, you know, I want to support our military. We want more military team members. So we were able to do one of our Paint It Forward projects in the past for her. For her, we painted the exterior of her house. So look within your team. I mean, again, the idea is here that you're building those up around you. You can start small. And if it's on your heart, you'll find a way to expand that. And I mean, let's also say that, you know, you don't want to give away the farm, right? I mean, you've got to have, you got to be financially responsible. There is a time and place for that. So, you know, the idea is that I want No Drip to be successful and keep heading, you know, shooting for the stars, because we're going to be able to do those 50 paint and forward projects, right? They go hand in hand together.
So one of the things that was counterintuitive that I had to learn about parenting and family life, and it's helped my wife and me in our parenting, was that the order is not, okay, take care of the kids first, or even take care of your spouse first. You can't take care of anybody if you don't take care of yourself. So take care of yourself, then take care of your spouse, then take care of your kids. That's the order in which we do it. And if you're thinking about it from a business, take care of your business and yourself, because if you don't do, if you start doing paint it forward, you start giving away, like you said, giving away the farm too quickly, then there's not going to be anything to give anymore. So get your house in order, but then you don't have to be greedy. Once you have the capacity and you understand your numbers, you job costs, you understand your finances, you've accounted for taxes, you know what you're doing, you know your numbers.
Yes.
You've accounted for seasonality, things like this. Then start to budget some time, some resources for things that you're passionate about that help people like this.
That's right. And don't forget to find partners to help. You don't have to do it all alone, right? Like Sherwin, I mean, we've got other paint companies that are willing to help. And so like, there are resources out there if this is something that is on your heart, and you might find another way to do it. Maybe it's through Paint It Forward. Maybe you've got some other cool thing within your business. But the reason that I just love Paint It Forward and my approach to it is that we get to do this for folks that align with our values, right? I talked about, you know, growing up with single mom and my team having, you know, a team full of, you know, people that have grown up with single moms. Like, now we get to do something for all those single moms out there, right? Because that's important to us. We get to do things for military folks because we've got a military team member. And that's one of the coolest things, is that you get to channel these efforts towards folks who are already in some capacity important to you.
Yeah. Yeah. You now have the capacity, the resources, the power, if you will, to make that change.
Yep. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So this, to come full circle with this entire conversation, this is now the why, right? I have recognized for our customers that we can have an impact on their space. And again, space is so important to me that I think it can change your life and change the direction of your life. I mean, let's talk about mental health for a moment, right? With all of the things that have happened, and thankfully mental health is becoming a, you know, focal point, but your space affects that, right? So for me, having a space that I feel good in, that's me taking care of myself. And we get to do that for our customers. And then we've got, you know, this idea and this concept is that we are going to give back to our team as much as possible. And we can make the decision to do that. We talked about this in one of the other episodes, is that, you know, maybe I'm not going to have a 20% profitable company because I have decided that I'm going to pay my people more, that I'm going to give them unlimited vacation, right? I am making the decision to take our money and put it back into our team. And I love that. That's what I want to do. And maybe we'll still find a way to be 20% profitable after doing all of that. That's certainly possible. But we get to make those strategic decisions to take care of our team, whether it's organizing mattresses or, you know, English classes or what have you. And then the other big piece that we're going to just, you know, blow up over the next couple of years is our Paint It Forward program.
So if we had to sum up your why in a sentence or a phrase, would it be helping other people?
It is, but you know, I've reflected a lot on this over the last 6 months, really. And I think that there's a deeper piece here. And I think that what I'm starting to tap into, and you know, maybe 6 months from now, I'll say something different. But I think my real job here is to give people hope and some inspiration, and maybe even, you know, give some guidance and push them towards the path that they're supposed to be on. But I really think it comes down to there's a real piece of me that has to do with giving hope and inspiration, and of course showing what is possible on some level.
Do you guys have written values, company values?
Yes, absolutely.
What are those?
One of our values is kindness. kindness. I mean, in our world today, we can use a little bit more kindness. And so that is something that we come back to often, even if we have a difficult customer situation, because of course we always do. When we are maybe in the office and you know, just letting loose because we're with our team, when we think about how we're going to take care of this customer in a difficult situation, we always come back to, we've got to be kind. That's who we are. So I'll leave it there with kindness. Yeah, because I don't think that's one that you hear often, but that's one that's really, I think, a staple for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. How you interact with customers. And I think I know you focus on it with the team as well. One thing I heard, kind of bringing it back to family life, because I think values and why and stuff ends up being tied a lot to that. I had read that we try really hard at work. You know, we try really hard at work. We try really hard with the external world. You know, very, very rarely are we going to walk into, I mean, some people do it, but they stand out. Very rarely are we going to walk into a, you know, grocery store and just start ripping at somebody because they bumped into us or we don't like, you know, something about what they did. We're usually going to be a little bit more passive than that or provide some level of grace, even if it's perceived grace, because we're maybe upset about it. We're not really usually going to do anything about it. But then when we get home, you know, we kind of let out our emotions, you know, if our spouse has done something or, you know, if the kids are doing something. And it's just interesting that the people that are nearest and dearest to you, you tend to sort of misbehave. And then for the people who you don't even know, that person in the grocery store, you tend to try to put your best foot forward. So I find that just because you said kindness, I don't know, I'm taking us on a tangent here, but you've just got my mind kind of racing with all this stuff.
Well, I think so. What you're talking about, and
I think what we need to do is just punch the guy in the face in the store. Just drop him. So we let it all out, and then we come home.
So we're nice at home.
Yeah,
but it's,
and just run so the police don't catch it.
Brandon, yes, what you're talking about has been my part of my own personal growth path for the last couple of years, and I think all of that comes back to how I take care of myself, which we've talked about. But yes, that's a real thing. And so when we talk about kindness, and even integrity is another one of our keywords, is that can't just be in our business. These are things that we need to strive for as human beings.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. So for people who don't have a set why, don't have a set purpose, is it just, hey, keep going and you'll figure it out? Or are there steps or actions that they can take that are maybe a little bit more proactive?
Well, I think they should first adopt the term wayfinding. Thank you, Jason Paris.
I like that.
And I mean, for me, it's all these things. It's interacting with people like you, right? These conversations, I know they get you fired up. They get me fired up, right? This is a source of motivation for us. It's one reason why we love doing these podcasts. Try to interact with people, you know, that are doing this. Read the books. I mean, you know, social media, you know, it can either, it's a double-edged sword. For me, I strategically use social media to view accounts that inspire me. I'm not going to watch all this negative, but my social media, when I get on that feed, I can get on there for 10 minutes. I'm inspired, right? I'm listening to all the things. And so, I mean, there really is something about, you know, what you're seeing, what you're putting in your body, whether it's, you know, Instagram video or food. I mean, it comes back to that, right? So, but be around the inspirational things. And, you know, we've got the expo coming up, you know, check out the PCA stuff. I mean, that was the PCA was one of the first things that I kind of found outside my own world. And believe it or not, Brandon, this is going to be my first expo. I'm a little late to the party. Wow. But this will be my first expo. Yeah. And I'm on a panel with Nick Slavik and a few others.
You're at Women in Paint speaking, leading the charge, and you hadn't been to
Expo.
Crazy.
I mean, listen, but Women in Paint, that should be a priority for me, right?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah. So, you know, your wayfinding, you will find your way, be open, put good things into your mind, be around positive people. You will get there.
And that idea of how you use social media. So that's highly intentional. And I think very few of us are very intentional. You know, we're so passive. Oh, Facebook is, you just open up Facebook. If someone bothers you enough, maybe you block them or unfriend them or whatnot, but you're not really actively creating that space. You're creating a space for yourself on social media the same way, you know, you do in homes. You're creating a space that you want to be on. It's not often you hear, hey, I go on social media for 10 minutes and I feel inspired. It's usually kind of more negative or distracted, or it's usually not inspired.
That's right. Yeah. So that's, it's a tool for me.
Yeah. Intentionality is key for people who don't have a purpose necessarily, right? Or maybe they can't clearly articulate their purpose or their why in their business, or maybe the purpose for them is making money, right? Is that okay? Do they need to find some other purpose? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, my question or my awareness for myself is, what do I want to do with that money? Look, I want to make money, right? I of course, that's a piece of this. We can't all be doing all this and be broke. Money to me is a resource. And I think because I view it like that, and I view it as a way to allow me to do more good and take care of myself, because that is a piece of this, that money is a tool. And you have the choice on how you want to view money. And I don't view it in a negative light. I think money is, I mean, it's required in the world that we live in. It's just a tool that we can use. And my way to use that at this moment is through my business and all the things we just talked about.
Another intentionality statement from you. It's your choice. We have a choice of how we view money. That's
Brandon, you make me sound really good. Hey, you know,
part of my, it's part of my, you are really good, but part of my job as the host is to try to identify key pieces of information, dive in them, highlight them, things like that. And you're saying profound things that I think could be overlooked.
Well, you're crushing it.
Well, you're crushing it. You're making my job very easy. But the choice of how you view money, that's an empowering thought, because we don't usually think that. We think, well, what do you mean? How have you, we need money. I need X amount of money. The media tells us the more money you have, more successful you are. We see the flash. Like, I don't get to choose. We live in an expensive country. Inflation's out of control. I don't get to choose how I view money. I just need as much money as I can get.
Well, yeah. And I mean, this has been years in the workings. It stems from not having money when I was young. And as I've grown up, I have made the choice of how I want to view money. Right now, let me just say that I had parents who weren't good with money, and I heard them say they weren't good with money. And you know, I lived in a world where, I didn't know if we were actually going to have food the next week. There's a period of time where that was my experience. So money for me might have a different impact because of my childhood, right? But you can take this idea of choice, even back to what we said about helping people. If it makes me feel good, I get to choose myself. I get to make the decision, the choice for myself, that feeling good like that is a signal that has been planted within my being that tells me I should do more of it, right? Or I could make the choice of, oh, well, if I feel good doing it, then maybe I've got the wrong intention. I could choose that. But my choice is that, I'm going to choose that this is a signal to me. This is, you know, within my heart that I should be doing more of this.
I like the phrase you used also, the light me up. Because we've all done good things. We've all done bad things. None of us is perfect. And some of the bad things we might enjoy. That might feel good when you do it. But what I've noticed is there's a pretty consistent pattern in my life with the things that I do that light me up. You know, something that I feel lighter, it stays with me longer. Versus maybe something that just, it felt good in the moment. You know, like decking that guy in the grocery store might be one of those things, right? It might feel great, but it's not going to light me up.
Well,
right? But
let
then
me give
painting
you another,
someone's
yeah.
house, is, right?
Let me give you another example. I just had this. I went to Nick Slavik's winter retreat. It was amazing. I just had this conversation. Imagine this. You speak on stage, right? And you get gratification out of the crowd clapping and cheering, right? Mm-hmm. You get this immediate gratification. And the question is, is that bad? I'm getting this gratification. And on some level, maybe something within us says, maybe I'm doing this for the wrong reason. It feels good when people clap for me. That was a conversation that came up. And my take on it is, no, maybe that gratification and that feel good is instilled within you because you have all this great information to give away. You've got all this power and inspiration you're giving to people. And if you didn't get gratification out of that, maybe you wouldn't want to take on the task of being vulnerable and getting on stage and talking to people, right? So I feel like when you're conflicted with these messages, some of it is our culture and things that have been ingrained within us that we probably have not gotten a choice on. I know I'm going deep here, but you get to confront these things. If you immediately think, oh, money's bad, well, now as an adult, you get the opportunity to look at that and say, okay, why do I think money's bad? Where does that come from? And then you get to maybe change your opinion and maybe find the source of where that opinion came from, right? And so I think that that's ultimately a piece of reclaiming power within your own life, is that you get to decide if that's a good or bad thing.
Yeah,
I'm going to put that in quotes, right?
Yeah, the sense of empowerment, of intentionality, of really owning your life and owning how you choose to view things is so powerful. When I started this podcast, I didn't have a super detailed plan. Just decided I'm going to start a podcast, see what happens. And then it started gaining in some popularity, and that felt kind of good, right? People are like, oh, I listen to your podcast. Wow, it feels kind of good. My wife joked to me like, oh, you probably feel real special now about yourself, don't you? Getting like your peacock feathers stroked or whatnot. She calls me a peacock. But then I started getting the next level. So then I started getting emails from people about how their life changed, about how they've been listening to the podcast for half a year, 2 years, 3 years, and emails that brought me to tears. Then I started meeting people who were at Expo, who said that they would never have been there without it, right? Then you take steps. And if you feel good about a couple of things that feel a little bit selfish along the way, but you're not hurting anybody, I don't personally care about that, right? Because it you're probably heading in the right direction. Now, if you're hurting people, obviously this is a different conversation, but I don't think we need to feel bad or guilty or terrible about some satisfaction of things. Just don't lose yourself. Don't start going down that path just for that path's sake.
That's right. And if you did not get some sort of joy out of that early on, you might have stopped doing this.
Yeah.
And then what? You wouldn't have had all this impact.
Yeah. No, that's a very good point. Yeah. I like your, you know, I'm not sure what your religious viewpoint or spiritual viewpoint is exactly, but you refer to God and spirituality quite a few times. And I'm, you know, I'm Christian, and I do believe that we have a path and a purpose and a reason for being here. And I don't think our life is just, you know, just meant to just exist and have no real, I do think we have a purpose. And I think the way that you feel and trying, I think when you try different things and you analyze those things, you live intentionally, like you talked about with social media, we do have a lot of negative influences, especially on social media in general, just people in general. I think you do need to kind of protect yourself and your mind and your emotion against some of that. But I think the more you put yourself out there with the things you try and analyze and be intentional, the more opportunity you have of finding the path that may already be destined for you. At least that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, you and I totally align on that.
Yeah. Some people, we just lost them, but that's why, you know, we did it at the end of the podcast, because they got all the value up until now. So, you know, these people are weirdos, but that's okay. They learned some things. Michael, as we wrap up another phenomenal episode, I love doing these episodes with you. Do you have anything else you want to add on purpose, your why, anything that we discussed?
I'll say that I'm still wayfinding also. Right? I've got other things in life that I want to do. I think I've only scratched the surface with No Drip Painting, and we've got a lot of more, you know, many more amazing things to do, but I'm wayfinding too. And I'm happy to be doing that.
Michael, I appreciate you. Thanks for making the time. And I can't wait for our final episode coming up here soon.
Right back at you.
If you want to learn more about the topics we discussed in this podcast and how you can use them to grow your painting business, visit PainterMarketingPros.com/podcast for free training, as well as the ability to schedule a personalized strategy session for your painting company. Again, that URL is PainterMarketingPros.com/podcast.
Hey there, painting company owners. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Give us your feedback. Let us know how we did. And also, if you're interested in taking your painting business to the next level, make sure you visit the Painter Marketing Pros website at PainterMarketingPros.com to learn more about our services. You can also reach out to me directly by emailing me at Brandon@PainterMarketingPros.com, and I can give you personalized advice on growing your painting business. Until next time, keep growing.
PayNet podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and are made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.